Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome to episode 45.
This is our conversation with Kara, the mother of Henry the Small.
So today's interview is talking to Kara all about her cavalier, Henry, and talking a little bit about the online world. Kara is a blogger. We met as dog moms looking to up their social media and sort of presence online.
And it's a very inspirational talk that we have, I think. I'm inspired, wanting to post more on more networks and channels and keep going, right? Keep posting. Even if you're feeling like it's something that someone else is doing, you're still going to do it in your way. So I think it's going to be a really good episode for people to listen to.
Enjoy. Welcome to the Iggy Parents, Kara. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. So excited to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, I am so excited to introduce you to our Iggy Parent community because you are a cavalier mom. So I can't wait to learn more about that and have you on this show. I'm so excited.
Well, I've been having a lot of fun following you guys on Instagram. That's, I think, where I met you first, and just learning a whole bunch of stuff about Iggy's. We almost were going to be Iggy parents. That was another choice for us in there. But finally, we went with calves.
I love that so much. Would you ever get an Iggy?
Who knows? You know, maybe a second dog someday. Who knows? I mean, now I know a lot about the breed, thanks to you. So.
That's perfect. Okay, well, before we get into the dogs so much, we wanted to chat because you and I, Kara, we've connected a lot online, and we also have sort of live chatted during The Bachelor.
Oh, The Bachelor.
It's been a little while since the finale of The Bachelor, but instead of our rapid fire questions, we're gonna ask you about The Bachelor.
That's so funny. Oh my goodness. Well, I don't even know, you know what? I don't even know what to say. I have such mixed feelings about The Bachelor. Like, I haven't watched it. Like, I've never watched it. This was the first year that I ever, like, watched The Bachelor. And, like, I have such mixed feelings because the concept of 30 women fighting for the attention of the same guy for me is just, like, I don't know, that never really, like, fully sat well with me. So I never really watched it until this year where, obviously, you know, we're in COVID times, lockdown. There's not much to do but watch TV and stuff, right? So I kind of, you know, discovered the whole culture around it, the whole, like, the live tweeting, the meme culture, all of that. It was just really hilarious to follow. And it was so fun also just, like, going back and forth, like, live, like, texting while we're watching is just, it's just too funny. It's super entertaining.
I think it enhanced it for me.
A guilty pleasure.
I was like, I need to talk to someone about this. And Ryan and I are watching this, and we need another dog parent, person who knows the life and how weird that show is. Yeah, so you've had mixed feelings about it, but are you looking forward to The Bachelorette?
Well, of course, now I am. I'm like, I'm sucked in. Like, I feel like I'm, you know, there's no turning back at this point. So, yeah, no, definitely looking forward to The Bachelorette. The fact that there's two also is interesting this year. So we will see. When does that start?
I think it's June 7th.
Looking forward to that.
I think that the show could really be enhanced if it had more dogs in it, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, I 100% agree.
Like, why can't one of the dates be a puppy visit or, like, puppy yoga? There's enough of this partner yoga. Let's do puppy yoga. I think that would help people bond.
Definitely.
And talk about what kind of dogs that they would get.
Definitely. Everybody knows that dogs make everything better.
Anywho, speaking of puppies, shall we get to our chat about dogs?
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be the mom of a cavalier?
Well, we always knew that, like, Juan is my boyfriend. We always knew that we were getting a dog. I think it was just a matter of, like, when and what breed. So we did a ton of research. I think the first place that I went to actually to look at, like, what type of breed would fit our lifestyle best was Pinterest. I kind of just took to Pinterest right away and did a whole bunch of scrolling. And I fell on this adorable picture of a little puppy. And I was like, oh, like, I need to figure out what breed this is. And it was a little Cavalier puppy. So I did a ton of research. And that was the breed that stood out the most because it was a very adaptable breed, a lap dog, you know, very cuddly. Like, they love to cuddle. They don't bark much. Apparently, they're great apartment dogs because if anyone knows Henry, they know how much he barks. So that's a funny one there.
There's only so much research can do, right?
So they didn't bark much. They were great, like, lap dogs, great apartment dogs. And everything that I was reading, I was just saying, you know, like, this is the perfect breed for us. I didn't mind too much that they shed because they do shed a lot. So I didn't really mind that too much. From there, we just like jumped into the research. We contacted close to like 40 breeders. I swear I spoke to so many people just in Quebec and in the like surrounding areas. And we found a really, really amazing breeder who did all of the health tests. So with calves, it's really important because they are like poster children for health issues. So you have to watch out for like their heart issues, knees and hips, eyes. There's also another neurological condition, which involves like cerebral spinal fluid. And we had to watch out for all of those. And we had to do the research on a breeder that did all of those tests. And we really found a great one, and we're really, really happy with them. And what was great also is that they had added us to like a Facebook group when we knew that we were going to be on the list. They added us to a Facebook group. They uploaded pictures from like when he was born to like when we would pick him up. Also, what's funny is that Henry was not our first choice.
Don't let him hear you say that.
No, exactly. So in his litter, there were two Blenheim boys. So Blenheim is brown and white. My choice was the more calm boy that was like very, you know, in the corner, kept to himself kind of thing. Whereas Henry would be the type that would just kind of go up to his brothers and sisters and kind of like play with them or instigate playing or that kind of thing. So he was not my first choice. I was like, I want a nice, calm, relaxed lap dog who's just going to cuddle by my side. And that's going to be that, right? So, but, you know, of course, in the end, like, I'm super happy that we ended up with Henry. Like, I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, I love that he's got all the personality. And I love that, like, he's just this vivacious, rambunctious little dog. So, yeah, that's the story for the breeder.
Aw, I love that. And I also felt the same way about Adelaide. I don't know if we've told you that before, but we were told that she was maybe a bit of a psycho and she had the most personality, and all the videos that we started receiving once we finally found out which one we were getting, all of the videos were like her beating up her siblings and like fighting for a toy or pushing them over. And I was like, oh my God, like we've got this bully and she's going to be crazy. But I have heard one bonus of that is the crazy dogs are easier to train if they have more personality, as long as you can like focus that energy. And also, Adelaide's almost 2 years old now. She's so mellow compared to Phoebe. I can't.
That's too funny. I'm kind of noticing that in Henry as well. Like as he's becoming more trained and as we're working on like calm and that kind of thing, like I notice that he is mellowing out. And I think also the fact that he's getting a little bit older is definitely helping too.
Right. And how old is Henry?
He is a year and I want to say 8 months. He's going to be 2 in August.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Are there any common traits that you've noticed about the breed now that you've been in the community more and you have more friends and it's not just your experience with Henry, but is there any sort of quirks, or you talked about the health issues, but yeah, what have you learned about the breed?
They're just very, like, kind of like Iggy's in a way, like Velcro dogs. Like, they love to be around people. And I've noticed also they like to be around calves, other calves.
Oh, I love that.
So I've noticed there's more of that. Yeah, there's more of that, like, interaction I find between them. Whereas, like, if I'll take Henry to a dog park and there's just a bunch of other dogs, he'll have a tendency to stay closer to us versus, like, go and explore all the other dogs. Like, he definitely loves humans more than other dogs, that's for sure. So I've definitely noticed that about him. I kind of want to say that Henry is not the exception to the rule. Obviously, there are other calves like him, but he's not the typical lap dog. He's more of a reactive dog and more like anxious. Not your typical quiet, chill like Cavalier, I would say.
Aw, I feel like that's us too with Adelaide. We heard that Iggy's were really shy, and then we got this super energetic girl, but that's what makes them special, right? I love that.
Exactly. I like that they have tons of personality and like you were saying, like easier to train as well, I find. Like Henry's super food motivated, so he'll do anything for a treat.
Nice. Me too. So now we've learned about Henry and about King Charles Cavalier Spaniels, the long form. Let's chat a bit about your life online and with social media, blogging, etc. Take it away, Ryan.
Yeah, so as the dog momager to the Henry the Small brand, can you tell us a bit about what you get up to online, like your blog and your brand and what you do online?
So I always knew that I wanted to start a blog. It just was like something that I've always wanted to do. I actually started one in 2019. I got the domain. I got like everything was set up. Everything was ready to go. And I don't think I ever wrote like one post. I didn't touch it for a whole year. I just let it sit there. And I think I just needed like becoming a dog mom to give me that like little push that I needed to just like start. And then I also felt like I had something to write about too. Like I feel like before I was just like, oh, well, I don't have anything to say. So I just never started. But the fact that I became a dog mom like that gave me like a little a topic or a subject to just kind of like, you know, share my experiences and that kind of thing. And then with like, you know, starting Henry's Instagram and just being so like present on Instagram and talking to so many different people, I learned also so many different things there as well. Like most of what I learned about taking care of Henry has come from the online dog community, whether it's, you know, YouTube videos or Instagram or Facebook or whatever else. Like it's where I learned most of my stuff. So I feel like I want to like kind of give back in a way. Like, I feel like I've got so much information from the online community that I kind of want to give back and say like, okay, well, here's what I learned. And like, I want to kind of share that with you. But that's kind of how the blog started and everything kind of started. And it's just been like rolling from there, evolving from there. Like the more I talk to different people, the more new ideas come up or the more like new collaborations pop up or kind of like this. and snowballing from there, I think.
So cool. What was your first blog about? Or was it just you just got a website and then you didn't know what to write? Now I'm going to go lurking for
website. I got a website. I never, it's not like you can't see it or anything. I think we just I stopped paying for the domain or whatever. So I don't think it's even like available. I didn't even write anything. I didn't even start the website. I didn't like, it was going to be about like me and like just lifestyle in general, but I had no direction and I had no, like, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was doing at all.
I love that. Dog mom inspiration.
Right?
Anywho, can you tell us more about the Cavalier community online? We're very familiar with Italian Greyhounds and we looked at our Instagram before and we thought, oh, we're kind of following like maybe 1,000 Italian Greyhounds and maybe under 100 of all the other breeds that we also follow. So is there something we're missing? Like, what would you say the community is like?
Oh my goodness. The Cavalier community, honestly, I would say is like super loyal, helpful, super supportive, I think, and always like ready. Like they're very knowledgeable too, I find, and they're always ready to like lend a helping hand. I remember we had gone to the vet at one point. Henry needed some blood work or something done. And the vet had examined Henry's blood and realized that, I think after like a first check, they realized that the blood platelets, or I think the red blood platelets, were, the count was low. That was alarming to me because I've heard other stories where like it could be like an autoimmune problem or issue. And so anyway, I had no idea what it was. So I posted about that on a story on Instagram. And all of a sudden I had like a slew of messages come in and be like, oh, you just make sure that, you know, they check on a second machine because, you know, calves are known to have these larger blood platelets. So if you like look at them on the typical machine, it'll come out as a lower count. So look at them, you know, on a specialized machine and you're going to get the right kind of count at that point. So that was a huge relief because it's just a thing and there was no reason to be alarmed and it honestly prevented a whole bunch of essentially useless treatments at that point. So always ready to like lend a helping hand and just jump in and be like, oh, I've experienced this. Oh, yes, I know something about that. Very knowledgeable in general.
Very cool. I know, I feel like the same thing about Italian Greyhounds, but we all have our unique struggles, right? And it could be behavioral or could be health issues. And those little quirks and sort of like tiny little things can make a huge difference.
So what do you think one of your greatest strengths is? So for example, for us, we kind of try and divide and conquer that Jess is usually the one messaging people or writing the captions.
Or talking.
And, yeah. And then I'm the one that's like taking photos and doing like some more technical stuff. So what's your biggest strength?
Dog momager.
I love like much like you, Jess, like I love answering all of the questions and all the DMs. I love answering messages. Yeah, I just, again, like I just feel like I'm contributing and helping out by doing that, much like people have helped me and given me like so much advice in the DMs. But yeah, I think that's one of my strengths, is just like talking and like connecting with people. It's something I've always like enjoyed, and like I love meeting new people. So I think it just kind of, it comes naturally, I think, to me. Like it's easy for me to do, to just kind of reach out and start a conversation. Yeah, so that's, for me, that's my favorite part, and I think it's one of my strengths as well. Juan is very good at taking the pictures. So whenever you see me in a picture, that's because Juan took it. So he's very good with all the like technical aspects of things. Like he said, he helped me set up the website. I think also another strength of mine is that I learn quickly. So I have kind of like caught on to how things work and how the website works and whatever, just by watching and kind of learning from him. But he helped me get a lot of it. A lot of it set up. But I genuinely enjoy like social media and kind of just putting things out there. I think in a structured way too. I think that's also another one of my strengths, probably due to like my dance teaching background. But I like structure. I like when things are kind of organized and in order. So I really do enjoy, like lately I've been really enjoying the Instagram lives. So kind of just hopping on and giving, you know, information and trying to put it in a succinct, structured way.
Yes, you just segued into my next question. But first of all, I'll just say I love your Instagram Live series that you've been coming up with. And it's so fun because we all love our dogs and we all have this life with our dog. But then we also have this sort of life online. And what do you want to make of it? And you've created a brand, and what do you want to make of it? So we're going to talk about all the different platforms on social media where we can find you, Kara, and Henry. And then maybe just say like one or two things of why you like it or why you don't like it. So I'll give the list, and then we can sort of like compare notes.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
First up, this is where I met you. So I have a feeling you like it, but Instagram. How do you feel about it?
Yes, this is where I hang out. I hang out on Instagram. I love spending time on Instagram. I think it's like the most maybe accessible and like easiest way to reach people and kind of just, I think it's also the easiest way to reach me. Like just send me a quick message and do you know what I mean? So like, I like Instagram for that. I think it's really good for, connecting with new people and just, I like Instagram though.
Cool. And your handle there is at Henry the Small.
Yeah, at Henry the Small.
S-M-O-L. And yeah, Ryan, how do you feel about Instagram?
I think it works well for us, like I said, because I love taking photos. But one thing that I love is that you can put all of your photos in context. So there's so many features that they have. So you can post like behind the scenes on the story and the best photo on the feed and write a whole description of your blog post that just came out in the comment of that and go live and answer people's questions. So yeah, like you said, it's a place that people go to hang out and continue to spend a lot of time.
Yeah. I love stories, by the way. Stories for me is like one of my favorite features, I think, because it's quick and it's like you can see the, like you were saying, like the behind the scenes. I think it's also like where you get to know people the most, as well as like Instagram Live too, right? But with Instagram, with Henry's account, I'm always a little bit reluctant to post things that have to do with social media. I know that like it connects, but at the same time, I'm like, this is what I like, and maybe, you know, followers are not here for that and they just kind of want to see my dog. So I'm always reluctant. So I'll kind of like pull the audience and see what, you know, people want to see and people want to, you know, interact with. So That's kind of where I'm at right now with Instagram. I'm like, do you want to see more of this?
I feel like people do. But also, like, there are those tools that you can ask people. I think that's so cool. You can pull or quiz and ask questions like, what do you want to hear about next? And helps you to promote other things. And if people don't want to hear it on Instagram, you can direct them to somewhere else, which is my next segue. Clubhouse. I put this one second and Ryan laughed at me. He was like, why are you putting Clubhouse second? And I was like, because we're interviewing Kara. She loves Clubhouse.
Yeah, it's so fun.
So talk to us about Clubhouse. How'd you get started? And what are you doing on there?
It's so funny because I first saw Clubhouse pop up. I don't remember where, but I think I saw it like in an article somewhere. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. This is like the next thing. And then I showed it to Juan and he was like, nah, that's silly, whatever. And then like, I think like within a week or like 2 weeks later, I see him like on Clubhouse interacting with a whole bunch of different people. I'm like, you said it wasn't cool. Like, what? Give me an invite. So he invited me to the platform. And from there, I was just like, what? This is so amazing. You get to like have conversations with people in real time. And like, it's all live and nothing is recorded and cool, you know, and there's a whole bunch of different people on the platform as well, which kind of led me to, well, not just me, but myself and my Herky the Cavalier on Instagram. We kind of got together, joined forces and created the Cavalier Dog Moms Club. And now we just have these like weekly chats, Cav Mom chats, where we talk about a whole bunch of different things geared toward Cav Moms, obviously, but you know, you've popped into the rooms a couple of times and spoken with us.
Always crashing the party of the Cav Moms.
Honorary Cav Mom, I love it. And yeah, it's just been a great place to like connect with other Cav Moms, share different experiences, learn a whole bunch of new things, because I totally am learning a whole bunch of new things there too. And yeah, it's just been a lot of fun. I don't know where Clubhouse is going. You know, I don't know if it's here to stay. I know that there's other apps that are, you know, other social media apps that are in the works to creating their own version of Clubhouse. So I don't know how long it's going to be around, but I'm going to enjoy it while it's here.
Yeah, I think that you've done a really cool thing with Clubhouse, because for us, we have this podcast and we sort of have a community built around that, but we don't have sort of a live, interactive, pulling your audience up to the, what do you call it? Like speakers,
the stage.
To get them to the floor. I don't know which, the stage. I'm an actor. I should know this. It's the stage. This shows how much I know about Clubhouse, but we want to learn more about Clubhouse because I think it's really cool that you can bring people to the stage and have them talk and interact with you as a host. And if you have a guest for that episode or chat, then you can talk. Now, for us, I feel like it would be so sad to record something and then not, to have a chat and then not record it. But I have seen that some people say that they record theirs. Have you ever considered doing that for yours?
We were thinking about it. I just want to make sure that, you know, before we do that, it doesn't violate any of the like Clubhouse terms. So I think there is a way to do it. I'm just not familiar with the way to do it yet. So once I figure that out, then for sure, we'll record it and share it. I know because right now it's a little limiting too, because it's only iPhone users and not like Android users. So there's that component too. But yeah, I think once we figure it out, I think we'll try to record our conversations.
Yeah, totally. I do agree. Since it's not beyond iPhone, it does limit who can join. But I think for us, we might try and do like an after the podcast episode chat.
Yeah.
So we'll have an episode and then after that week, bring people in that want to talk about what we were talking about this week on the podcast.
Yeah, see, that's where I think that it could really be, really be cool for that, because I think like Clubhouse is a place not to maybe create content, but maybe to discuss content. Do you know what I mean? Like, or like even get ideas for creating content at that point.
I love that. That's a great way to think about it. How do you feel about Clubhouse, Ryan?
Yeah, because we have this podcast, my mind always goes to how can we capture that? So I'm picturing now that if we're going to do that and go live, that Jess and I'll just both have our computers like ready to take notes about what happens.
Yeah, totally.
But
But totally. I mean, we do it too, right? And
but yeah, it's like a brainstorm.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's a great way, I think, to also like learn and kind of get the pulse on like what everybody else is feeling about a certain topic. And yeah, I think it's helped myself come up with new topics for blog posts. And also, I think my also for YouTube videos. So I think it's very helpful in that way.
I think the skills you've learned as well for prepping for your Clubhouse chats are basically everything we've learned about having a podcast, because we have sort of an outline and we've got a topic for the day, but we don't know where a conversation is going to go always.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool to also have that community aspect that people can hop on stage with you and chat.
Yes.
But anyways, we've got another platform to talk about. You just mentioned that you listened to our latest episode about Reels and TikToks.
Boy, did I learn so much.
And I know
TikTok.
you're pro Reels. I know you're on Team Reels because you love Insta. But how do you feel about TikTok?
I think the only reason why I'm pro Reels is just because like I can't be on all of the platforms to the way that I would want to be all the time. It's so time consuming. So I think at a certain point I just had to like pick the ones that I'm most present on and kind of devote my energy to those, to the ones where like other people are engaging with me as well, and to the ones that like essentially just be where my audience is. Like I'm not gonna start, you know, going to TikTok and creating a whole new audience there when my audience is already on Reels. I mean, maybe I will eventually get back on the TikTok trend, because I did start I think early pandemic. I was like, ooh, what is this new thing, you know, that everyone's doing, all these millennials are doing, let me see if I can jump on this. So I tried TikTok for a bit, and then I just got disinterested with Reels happening, that I was like, all right, well, let me choose one. I'll choose Reels. Simple as I could put it.
You listened to our episode, so you know that was us too, that we like tried and then went away from it, tried again, went away from it. Finally, now I see what all the hype is about. But the biggest thing that I've found is that TikTok is where, like, it's cheesy, but if you ever see TV commercials for TikTok, they say it happens on TikTok.
Or it starts
here.
It starts, yeah.
And like, honestly, it does. Like all of the trends that I see now with our Instagram community that people are doing, they're all from TikTok. And yes, you can
TikTok,
be, you can be inspired by Reels, but all of the big creators that are creating new and fresh Reels are learning from TikTok and taking that trend and bringing it to Instagram. Now, I don't think that's true for everyone. And I know that you've got some really cool creative ideas that haven't always come from TikTok, but even sometimes indirectly they come from TikTok, right? So I don't know if it's gonna take over the world or not, but I feel like the biggest thing for me is like the idea that on TikTok, it's kind of a throwaway. Like I post something and if it fails, it doesn't matter because I don't have this following of people that are looking at my everyday life. They're not watching my stories. They're not sort of invested in my story. They are invested in this 15 second or 60 second, 30 second clip. And if I can convince them to follow me from that they want to see more from me, then that's great. But they don't need an everyday update, even though we are posting there daily. They're looking for, what can I get from this? What's valuable from this right now in this moment? And like, if it's just a laugh, great. It doesn't have to be like my whole biography. And I kind of find that freeing in a way.
The same thing about it being sort of a throwaway. And you have mentioned that the comments are slightly different on TikTok than Instagram, that it's often people leaving a comment for the future viewers and they're not expecting to talk directly to us.
Right. There's a specific one he's talking about that someone wrote in the comments and said, that guy on the couch, like, he's funny. And I was like, oh, they're not saying you are funny. They're not talking to me. They're talking to the other people in the comments who are going to like their comment and then start sort of like a thread. Like it's almost a different kind of place to be. They're not wanting to have a conversation with you as much. They're kind of wanting to talk to people in the comments. I'm not saying that they don't talk to you as well.
No, see, that for me, that would be a little bit of a, I guess, a turnoff in a way, because like I want people to be interacting with like me and my dog and like kind of, you know, engaging in a conversation, I guess, with us versus, I don't know, but that's just kind of,
yeah, I don't know. Sorry, you were saying something else.
I think you guys are doing amazing though on TikTok, and you guys are hilarious, and keep going with the TikToks for sure. And I think also the fact that you committed to like, what was it, 80 TikToks in 80 days?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Oh my goodness. I don't even know how, like how, I don't even know how. That's amazing. I think if I would commit to like a challenge like that, I would probably see it through and like go for it fully. But like, I'm just so like, wow. Impressed.
I love that. You're inspiring me. Should we have a TikTok challenge for all of our Instagram followers? Should we bring them to the dark side?
Oh boy.
So now to talk about something more boring. Facebook. Oops. Was that, I'm leading the witness. How do you feel about Facebook? Maybe you love it.
Okay, Facebook. Oh my goodness. I don't know. Again, here too, like mixed feelings about Facebook. I do enjoy Facebook groups. I don't really see like my Facebook posts themselves doing like, I just post to Facebook because I post to Instagram kind of thing. So it kind of just goes there. But,
same.
I really do see Facebook groups as something that is like maybe, well, for me, the most interesting part about Facebook, because it's like these little mini communities, and it's like, they're like very specific, and you can kind of go there to either share information or get information. And for me, it's been super helpful for like things like blogging or, you know, like Tori's group, the Wear Wag Repeat Labs, like things like that. I find are just really great communities and really great like places to get information from other people, like other like-minded people, people who are, you know, going through the exact same thing or living the exact same thing as you. I'm part of a whole bunch of different like Cavalier King Charles groups as well. And that's kind of how also like we found the different breeders and like exchanged and learned so much about different like health issues as well. So for me, like Facebook, the most interesting part of it is groups.
I feel exactly the same. We don't put any effort into our Facebook page for Adelaide. We just have it linked, and then I think about it more, should we get into it more from a business side of things? I don't know, just because we have like the online merch shop and stuff like that, but yeah. Potentially we're missing an audience that isn't on Instagram, but I don't know. Our page is pretty small. How do you feel, Ryan?
Yeah, it's same with Kara and TikTok, that you have to choose where you're going to put your energy to, and it would be a duplication of efforts, it feels like.
Right. We were going to start an Italian Greyhound group for podcast listeners of the podcast, but we were starting it and trying to think of what to say and why we're starting this group. And then we just realized like, it's not the time right now. We don't have time. We're still creating content on other platforms and it's a little overwhelming. So yeah, I think this is our TikTok, Facebook, just not right now.
Exactly. And I think like Facebook also has a different, like a lot of different avenues to explore too, like the whole like shop side of it, the whole commerce side of it, the whole advertising side of it. Like this, I find there's just like so much. But I will say though, what I will start exploring is the creator studio, because I want to see if I can use that as a scheduling, like as a scheduling software or platform, I guess, for my posts for Instagram. So I'm going to start exploring that. We'll get back to you.
Oh, very cool. I don't know about that. Well, get back to us, because we have no idea. Sounds great. Next up on the list here, we just got two more, is Pinterest. And I didn't know that you started looking on Pinterest for Henry, like for a dog. I never looked at Pinterest. Like, I think I looked at Pinterest when it first came out, and then I left my boards alone. And then I had only ever heard of it again as a dog mom already. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your journey with Pinterest.
Like for me, Pinterest has always been a place to like find inspo or like come up with ideas or that kind of thing. Like it's like the first place I'll look, because I'm very visual. So like it'll be the first place I look it is a visual search engine, right? So it's the first place I look for inspiration and kind of like to start my research on certain things. But also it's a great place to find like blog posts too and like tools, that kind of thing. And it's been a place I didn't know about all of the marketing aspect of Facebook until I started the blog. The course with Tori, the Pinterest course that we took, it kind of just like opened my eyes to a whole new kind of Pinterest, and I have been loving it. It brings traffic to the website. It can even bring traffic to your Instagram account. It literally is a place that promotes creators from going off the app. Like, it promotes that person who's searching from going off the actual platform, whereas a lot of other social media apps will try to make you stay within the platform as much as possible. So I think anybody who is in e-commerce, who is any kind of business, who's a blogger, who's an influencer, adding a Pinterest component to like what you do is just like a huge plus, I think.
You've sold me again. I need to look at the Pinterest account. We just, again, it's one of those things, we just don't have time for it, but we have e-commerce. We need to bring more traffic to our site, as always.
Yes,
so
yeah,
definitely that's one of our points for improvement.
In terms of saving time, honestly, like Tailwind really does help for that. Like the scheduling app for Pinterest, it really, really helps to like kind of set it and forget it in a way. Kind of you put that on there and it just like uploads everything to Pinterest. So you're basically creating your pins like once a week, let's say, and then the rest of the time it's just being scheduled for you.
Oh, sweet. And I feel like too, Pinterest is more evergreen content. You can leave it up there and it'll be there for a long time, whereas Instagram feels pretty immediate. It's got like a short, we talked about that on our episode about Reels and TikToks, but yeah, I feel like Pinterest is one of those ones that stays around for a while.
Yes.
We've got just one more platform here, and I don't even know if I'm right calling it a platform, but Like to Know It, because I know you're on there and I don't really know what it is, even though we also just signed up. So tell me about it.
Oh, you did? Oh, cool.
We did.
Honestly, I haven't been hanging out there very much lately, just because, again, like I have to choose my platforms and try to like go again where my audience is. However, so Like to Know It just quickly is a shopping like social network with like a lot of commissionable links, and it's powered by reward style. So mostly what I've been doing is kind of using those like affiliate links and those commissionable links in my blog posts versus like creating posts in Like to Know It, which you probably should be doing as well. But I just haven't put as much time into Like to Know It, really. But it is interesting. I love scrolling through it. I think also as like a Canadian, I don't know if this is correct or not, but it feels like there's less options in terms of like retailers and that kind of thing. Yeah, and like small businesses too, like the ones that I promote, let's say on, or that I represent on Instagram, are not necessarily on this platform. So it's like, well, I want to be talking about these products that I like and I can't put them here.
Right. So, a bit limiting.
Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, I'm still exploring it. I'm still very new to it. So, but I do like scrolling through it and seeing the different products and stuff and shopping, I guess, for myself. And in that way, I think it's interesting. Visually, it's visually appealing. It's fun. But I don't know. I haven't really put a ton of effort, let's say, into Like to Know It right now.
That's okay. I feel like...
But you're on it. You just joined.
Yeah, sort of by accident. We were looking into new affiliate companies, and
it might have been from a Clubhouse chat, actually, from you.
Yeah.
And then we signed up for Reward Style. And then I was like, wait, this is the back end of Like to Know It. Oh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And honestly, like the links I think that I put in the blog posts and that kind of thing perform better than the ones on Like to Know It anyway.
Yeah. And again, blogging is something that we need to keep up. I feel like
Oh my goodness. Whoever says blogging is easy.
No.
I really thought it was gonna be
but
easy.
Your blogs are great, so
thank you. I really thought it was gonna be an easy, like, fun hobby. Oh boy, there's so much work involved in blogging, so much.
See, now you just have to turn your blog into a podcast.
Yes.
Like we did.
I might need like a course or something to get me started though.
Oh, we're dropping it here. Dropping it live, folks. But actually, yes. Stay tuned. Just to finish up on the platforms, if you lost all of your accounts on all of these different platforms except for one. Which one would you save, like your desert island platform?
Oh my goodness. You know what? I should probably answer this with my email list, because I would say none of them, and I'll keep my email list.
We're such good students.
Because honestly, that is like...
Up Tori Mystic.
That is the best way that you can reach real, right? Right. If I've learned anything from her, I'm going to learn that. No, but honestly, like having like run, you know, through businesses and such, like having that email list is honestly like it's gold. It's like the number one way that you can reach people directly. So I'm going to say non-email if I had to absolutely, you know, be without any social media apps. But again, if I had to choose, I probably would choose Instagram.
Yeah.
Just because I love it so much.
It's too good. And they're like taking little bits of everything else,
it's
right?
Where I've
like
met all my
Reels,
friends.
Who needs a TikTok? You know, if you've got your Insta. I love that answer. Also, this is where we tell people, join our email list and join Kara's email list. We'll put a link in the notes. Just in case all platforms disappear.
I love a good plug.
You're right. We need updates. We need information. And email lists are what's up. Now, question for you here. What tips do you have for someone who wants to do what you're doing with your brand, Henry the Small?
I would say if you have an idea or a project or like just something that you want to do, just do it. Like, I would say that. Like, that would be like my number one tip. Just do it. Just start. You know, you'll learn as you go, and there's so many things that you can learn as you go, and there's so many resources out there. There's so many, you know, people who are also doing what you do. Like, I like to always say, like, everything's already been done, just like not by you. So, you know, everybody has a unique way of doing something. Just do it, even if it's already been done before. So I think that's my number one tip. Ask for help would be another one as well. Like, don't be shy to like reach out to people who are doing something similar or who are doing what you would like to be doing. And ask a whole bunch of questions. You know, find people who are on the same or similar journey to you. Like, for instance, for me, it's been Lindsay and Coco, her blog. And we call each other blogger besties because we just kind of go back and forth and share like our blogger journey and our struggles and whatever. So having that person, I think, has really helped a lot. And it just feels a lot less like lonely in that way, too. Like, just having a community and like friends around who are doing the same thing as you. And I think this is something that like another tip is something that like I have to keep telling myself as well. Don't worry too much about perfection, as I'm such a perfectionist. I think just things evolve with time and like they change as you go. And like there's always going to be like something new that you can add or bring to what you're already doing. So let that happen, I think. But I've kind of been learning to like roll with the punches with, you know, having a blog and that kind of thing. So yeah, and I think just overall enjoy it and have fun. If what you're doing or what you start, any kind of project, it should add joy to your life, not stress, right? So I think those are like my little tips.
Aww, add joy, not stress. I love that.
And the best thing I like there that you were saying is start what you're going to do even if it feels like it already exists, because you're going to do it in your way. I feel like we often have that of like, oh, are there people doing this? Maybe we shouldn't.
Or, oh, this trend is someone else's. I can't do it. Well, then do your own twist on it. Make it yours. Put your stamp on it.
Exactly. Like, so many people have blogs. There's so many blogs out there.
Right.
Like, why should I start a blog? And I think that's also why I waited like a year to start, right? Why should I? Like, why me? Just do it. Just go for it. It's okay.
Brian's always said this to his favorite YouTubers. And we didn't talk about YouTube because you're not on YouTube, correct?
I'm not on YouTube. No,
yet.
I'm not. Should I be?
Yet. See, we didn't talk about that platform, but absolutely, we are trying our bestest to get there.
Yes, you guys are on YouTube. That's true.
But they've come out with a new, I don't know what to call it, feature that's called, you talk about it.
YouTube Shorts. So,
YouTube Shorts. Yes, I've heard about this.
Yeah. So it basically is just their version of TikTok and Reels, that they want you to upload videos that are under a minute and you have to put hashtag shorts in the title. It has to be vertical, and then it gets tagged as a short and is then kind of in a TikTok or Reels feed that it's a scrolling feed instead of individual videos. It's kind of tricky to figure out how to post them right now. They're kind of hacking their way into it just using their regular upload feed. But if it has these certain characteristics, then they know that it is a short. So I would not be surprised in the next 6 months if they come out with a specific YouTube Shorts app. Because they have like YouTube.
Instagram
music
had
right
IGTV
now.
As a separate app in the beginning.
Maybe not. Maybe it'll just stay a feature. But I think they're going to try and make it easier for people to upload there because it's somewhat tricky right now and also not super inviting. It's just like another thing to scroll by. I watch a lot of YouTube myself. But if you are either editing your reels and videos in another app where you have a way to export them, I would say probably without the watermark, then that is a nice kind of a third place that you could post those videos.
Without having to do extra work, right?
Yeah, that's...
Like having to do a full long form YouTube video is very daunting with Ryan as our sort of videographer and editor here. It's a lot harder for him to edit. I can see him painstakingly edit a long YouTube video. And maybe that's the perfectionist in Ryan as well. But I
can relate.
You know, if you're only doing a 15-second clip, maybe that's a great way for people to get into YouTube. And maybe we're dating this episode by saying how new and novel YouTube Shorts are. Maybe it's going to go away. Maybe it's going to take off. Who knows? But I definitely think it's something to look into.
Kara, I think you're not alone in being resistant going to TikTok from Instagram. And I think part of that for a lot of people is that it's like more bang for your buck on Instagram because you already have a following. So I think you could kind of flip that. And then if you are posting shorts to YouTube, you then might already have a bit of a following if in the future you decided to start posting long form videos.
Right. It's your way in.
Right. It's like, oh, I already have 100 subscribers or 200 subscribers, and I'm much shorter road to get to where I want to be on YouTube.
Yeah, growth is weird on the different platforms. Like we were saying with TikTok, you can go viral much quicker and on something that you don't think maybe even deserves going viral. And then you'll put it on Instagram and it doesn't perform as well or whatever. But I've also heard that TikTok followers, your following is not worth as much if you are considering yourself as an influencer. We've talked about micro influencer versus nano versus mega, etc. But with TikTok, I've heard, and I don't know the numbers on this, but your follower count just doesn't go as far. You won't get paid as much for a TikTok.
Well, I have seen accounts that have 100,000 subscribers and still get hundreds of views on most of their videos.
You're talking about TikTok?
On TikTok, yeah.
Oh, okay. You called them subscribers, so I didn't know.
Oh.
Followers on TikTok.
I'm still in the YouTube world.
He's
right
the
now,
YouTube
apparently.
Man, so.
So I'm not surprised at that.
Right.
That you can't call them equal. And it's the same with an email list or a podcast, that a subscriber there or a follower there is worth way more because it is more effort for them and you have closer contact with them.
Anywho, speaking of tangents, that was a tangent. But I love your tips.
I know, I love it. It's so interesting. It's interesting because I know nothing about YouTube except that I know that like it's very SEO strong. So it's going to like, if you're like Googling something or whatever, the videos are most likely to pop up first. So like you got to really like the description and the like titles and everything have to be really, really like optimized. That's all I know about YouTube.
And speaking of SEO, let's talk about our last question here. Segue. But Kara, we met, I think it was during the Pet Summit, which is kind of funny because the Pet Summit was a virtual event. So it sounds like we met in person and I saw you at an event. But no, that did not happen because of...
We did not.
You know,
we've never met in person.
I know. It's so sad. This is the closest we've got so far with events like the Pet Summit. And now we have mentioned this several times because it's one of our huge connector points here. But Tori Mystic's Wear, Wag, Repeat Society. What are your feelings about these virtual groups and summits and memberships? I know we are in love with this membership with Tori Mystic, but tell us your thoughts about it and what have you learned?
I think just in general, I love learning. So I think that
Yay!
I love learning new stuff. And I love that when it's like super specific and niche and like exactly what I need, like I like that. So yeah, I just think that it's important to always be a student. So when it comes to courses that like offer like that kind of valuable information that I'm looking for, like I'm all for it. The Pet Summit was amazing. I loved the fact that it brought a lot of creators together, a lot of businesses as well. Like I discovered so many creators and like new people, new businesses from the Pet Summit that I had never heard about before. And I think it's also how we met as well. So another plus there. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to their this year's edition and seeing what they're gonna do, because I definitely learned a lot from the Pet Summit, so that was fun. And then as for Tori, well, you know I'm a huge fan already. But I just think that she's just an overall like awesome, likable person. And I think she's very genuine in her approach, and I think that's what draws a lot of people to her, because she has such a great way of, you know, succinctly explaining things, and the courses that she offers, just like, they're just very clear and very like to the point. I like all of her lists that she puts together, and I just think she's a very strong brand, and she's just a very nice person in general, very trustworthy, and I think that's very important when you've got an online business or you're selling courses or that kind of, or membership or whatever online. I think it's super important to like have that trust factor. But yeah, I'm loving being part of her membership. I think it's been giving me a lot of direction too. Like every month has a different theme, which I really love. And yeah, just gives me the opportunity to connect with like-minded people, just like you guys, you know?
Yes. I feel like the membership is also another way to create community as well. And she's so great at that.
Yes.
And beyond just, mm-hmm. you know, your dog breed or your community locally or, you know, whatever your niche is, it goes beyond. I feel like it's pushing the boundaries of our niche. So yes, we're Italian Greyhound owners, but now we can be friends with lab owners and Cavalier owners and people who run a pet store and people who make pet bandanas. Like there's something about all of those people that we can learn from. And there's other people in the group that have written books, and that's something that we're working on. And there's other people in the group that have online businesses that are thriving, and a lot of influencers as well. And that's, I know, where mm-hmm. we sort of fall under the category, but lots of things to aspire to. And what's beyond just our online presence? What can we do even more and to connect with people in a bigger community? So
yeah, and I love the fact also that it's like a kind space, that it's a very like non-judgmental space as well. Like there, it's a judgment-free zone. I love that. You can just like bring an idea to the table or just kind of brainstorm and bounce ideas off of people, and it's just like things are so well received in that community, and I like that.
Yeah, that was the end of our questions. So is there anything else that you want to share with people? I know we asked for your tips, but if there's anything else you have to talk about, that's great. And if not, you can just share where to find you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loving this. This is my first podcast experience ever, so this is very exciting for me. I hope I did a good job.
You nailed it. I was gonna say, I'm like, you did such a great job. I don't do the editing, so Ryan, we'll have to deal with that later.
We'll find out.
Well, I think the Clubhouse experience has helped a lot, that you're used to. I can imagine that being even more intimidating, knowing that you're going live.
Oh, right? Yeah. I get so recording. Nervous on Clubhouse speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's that added element of you don't know if you're allowed to speak yet. And then everyone's like flashing their microphone.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, I know.
What's
oh,
this
I know.
Mean?
Oh, no. Same here.
So you moderating that. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a challenge. That's for sure. Like, especially like trying to keep things like on track too, and like within the topic of the conversation. It's like it's teaching me definitely like new tools, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and people who pop into conversations there as well don't necessarily know where your topic is going or where you have already gone with the conversation. They can pop in halfway through, have a question that someone already asked at the start, and you're having to sort of navigate a new way of answering the question. So
yep.
I just feel like there's so many skills that you've picked up there that I think you should start a podcast. But, you know, I think you've got our vote.
You know, I think I'm getting with being here, I'm kind of getting the itch. I like it. I just love to talk, you know. I love to talk, and I think I don't know, who knows, maybe, and just another project to add to my list of never ending projects.
I know, right? Oh my god. So the lesson is, everybody, do everything. Just kidding. Don't do everything. Do what feeds your soul. All right. Well, how can people find you? I know we talked about all the different platforms that you're on, but tell us about your handle/ where can people go?
Well, you can find me on Instagram. Well, not just me and Henry, obviously. I won't take all the credit. You can find us on Instagram at Henry the Small, SMOL, as well as our blog, henrythesmall.com, and pretty much just Henry the Small everywhere.
Love it. That's smart. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much, Kara. This was a blast. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, for sure. We'll chat on Instagram all the time. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we'd love if you left us a review. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts help us get discovered by new Iggy parents and dog lovers alike.
You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening or wherever podcasts are found.
Our new vlog is going up on YouTube featuring Phoebe's journey through puppyhood.
Don't miss out on every pup date by subscribing to our newsletter at theiggyparents.com/newsletter.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by The Iggy Parents Shop. If you're looking for another way to support what we do here, check out our merch at theiggyparents.com/shop.
And don't forget to connect with us on Instagram by sharing your thoughts with us and your friends. Tag at The Iggy Parents, at Iggy Adelaide, and now you can even reach us at Iggy Phoebe.
Bye for now from Ryan,
Jess,
Adelaide,
and Phoebe.